All of the podcasts here at the Sideshow Network are now at the touch of a button on your iPhone and iPad. With the new Sideshow Network app, tune into all your favorite podcasts here at the Sideshow Network. Go to iTunes App Store, search for Sideshow Network, and download our free app to stream all of your favorite Sideshow Network podcasts at any time you want. The top comedians in the world are at your fingertips with the Sideshow Network app for iPhone and iPad.
So you're thinking about starting a new website. Maybe you have some new small business idea, you want to sell something online, or maybe you want to show off your photography, or maybe you want to start that new podcast to compete with mine. That's a bad idea. No podcast. Stop it. GoDaddy is offering one new or onetransfer.com for just $1.99 for the first year. Each new.com comes with a free instant page website and built-in photo album. So really, what are you waiting for? Get your website started today. All right, even if it is a podcast, just get it started now. Go to GoDaddy.com, enter code Alonzo at checkout, or click on the GoDaddy banner on our website. I have nothing to do with Danica Patrick. No, I can't hook you up. Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden with another episode of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? I want to thank you guys, whoever's out there listening, for tuning in, for downloading, for listening, and even more, for sharing the podcast, because it's growing, and I appreciate it. Now, I'm going to tell you, I thought this was a slow week. The way I do the podcast is, during the week, I collect news stories from various sources, stories that are interesting to me, or funny to me, or maybe I think they affect us, you know, us being the population of the United States of America. That's how I pick articles. And then I do an outline, and then I record, and then you listen. And that's how the podcast lives. So this week, I thought it was a slow news week. And then I started reviewing, and weird. Not even weird, scary, sad, funny. So let me get started. I saw the movie The Butler. It stars Forest Whitaker and Oprah Winfrey. How come I can't say Oprah? I'm more Oprah to come. But anyway, Oprah's in the movie. Ladies, you'll be happy to know Lenny Kravitz is in the movie, and he is beautiful. Actually, he is. It's amazing. And for those who don't know the story, this is the story of Cecil Gaines. Cecil Gaines was a butler in the White House from the Eisenhower administration to the Reagan administration, a period of over 30 years. So as you can imagine, the history involved, I mean, the movie was amazing. Forest Whitaker is an unbelievable good actor. Other great actors are in the movie, but it covers everything that happened in the United States from Kennedy assassination, Martin Luther King being killed, the civil rights movement, Vietnam, et cetera, right? So it's this amazing course of American history viewed by this man who's a butler who has to be an invisible, non-political presence at the White House. But at the same time, he's a black man in the United States raising a family, so his kids are dealing with these issues. And you know, I'm not going to ruin the movie for you. I really think you should see it, but it was amazing, and it was well done, and I think the story's well told. So I see this movie, and it was one of those red carpet premieres I was invited to. Lucky, I love doing those things because it's really funny to me how it goes down. But one of the things they interviewed me about the movie, and they said, well, what do you think about the movie on a historical perspective, from a black perspective? You know, and here's a sad thing about this movie. This is what I consider sad. It showed how we're moving backwards. On subjects, topics like civil rights, voting rights, how we treat each other as humans, we as a nation are moving backwards. Let's start with voting rights. And let's head right on down to North Carolina. Now, as we all know, the Supreme Court, in their decision, they basically gutted the Voting Rights Act of the 60s. And it's very interesting that, you know, everyone's talking about Hillary Clinton is going to run for president in 2016. And the Democrats, a lot of them are talking like she's already won because the Republican Party is in such disarray, which I think that's a big mistake to just assume that the Republicans are going to lose. But anyway, she's talking. So she did a speech, and she, this was at the American Bar Association's annual meeting in San Francisco. So I'd say that's a a fairly liberal group. Look, I get on Fox News when Hannity, you know, interviews O'Reilly. So listening to Hillary Clinton speak to a bunch of lawyers in San Francisco, that's going to be a pretty liberal crowd right there. But she addressed this Voting Rights Act, and she said that we must, quote, fix the hole opened up by the Supreme Court's ruling in Shelby County versus Holder, which gutted a core provision of the Voting Rights Act. Otherwise, citizens will be disenfranchised, victimized by the law instead of served, and that progress and historical progress will move backwards instead of forwards. Okay? Absolutely true. Now, North Carolina, we're not even going to talk about Texas on this issue. We have more Texas coming later. The same day that she made this speech, the governor of North Carolina, he called for some, you know, he signed a law, common sense measures that are needed in North Carolina. Now, the centerpiece of North Carolina's law obviously is voter ID. But here's the thing. It's the type of voter ID. It has to be either a driver's license, a passport, veteran's ID, or tribal card, okay? And you think, that's okay, that's fine. You know, those are legal ID. Now, everything else is unacceptable. Now, here's why it's a Republican plan. Because the unacceptable IDs, college IDs, you know, universities like Duke, North Carolina, University of North Carolina, University of North Carolina, Greensboro, Wake Forest, huge universities. What are universities full of? Young people. What do young people tend to do? They tend to vote Democratic. But guess what? Their ID is no good. And their out-of-state driver's license is no good. So they're not going to be allowed to vote. What else does it ban? Oh, I don't know. Voter education in high schools? Again, why? Because that's where young people hang out. Now, the governor says, well, this isn't bad. Common practices like boarding an airplane and purchasing Sudafed require photo ID, and we should expect nothing less for the protection of our right to vote. That's the key word. Voting is a right. Boarding an airplane isn't a right, it's a choice. Purchasing Sudafed isn't a right, it's a choice. It's also the first step to cooking some meth. Let's face it, farming ain't the only thing they're doing down there in Carolina. But anyway, there's a difference between a right and a privilege. So voting is a right. Now they have to protect. Here's the thing. They have to protect against voter fraud. You know, voter fraud is running rampant and it must be stopped. How rampant is voter fraud? Of the 6.9 million ballots cast in the 2012 election, 121 were referred to the North Carolina Board of Elections for fraud. 121 out of 6.9 million. Obviously, the government needs to step in and put a stop to that. Oh, North Carolina, unbelievable, unbelievable. Also within this law, independent groups can come to North Carolina and spend as much as they want on elections. Now, who do we think those groups are going to be, and which side do you think those groups are going to support? Yes, there'll be some Democrats. There'll be some liberals. Move On will go online and raise $2 million, and some rich casino owner from Nevada will drop $100 million. But anyway, that's what's going on in North Carolina. And don't think that North Carolina isn't about protecting their citizens, all right? Because North Carolina is all about protecting their citizens. And that's why they're working on their anti-Sharia law. Okay? Here it is. Here it is. They want to pass a law in North Carolina that will say you Muslims cannot impose Islamic law in North Carolina. Now, keep in mind, there are no Muslims trying to impose Islamic law in North Carolina. But just in case they want to pass this law. Yeah, I said that. They want to protect themselves from Sharia law. Sharia, I'm saying it wrong. From Muslim law. No Muslim law in North Carolina. Now, Christian law, well, now that's okay. Because that's good law. So you can't have the Muslims giving laws, but you can have Christians giving laws. Now, they can't specifically say that you're not allowed to have Muslim law. So the way they wrote it is you can't have any foreign law because Islam is a foreign religion. Now, don't bother these people with the facts like, I don't know, that Christianity is also a foreign religion. Christianity started in the same Middle East that Islam did. But we can't bother them with the facts. You have to protect people from this religious law. So this is a great thing in the writer to stop. And I know it gets confusing. I'm confused and I'm saying it. I'm reading it and I'm confused. In the bill to stop Muslim law, there's an anti-abortion rule, which anti-abortion is Christian law. So in the bill to ban Muslim law, there is Christian law to be imposed upon the people. Now, of course, the U.S. Constitution bans religious law from superseding any of our laws. It has a supremacy clause, right, which is separation of church and state, which says that your religious law can't supersede our government law. That's why polygamy is illegal, even though some Mormons think it's okay, right? But don't bother them with the Constitution and don't bother them with the fact that Christianity started in the same place that Muslims started. You just stop those Muslims from coming in and passing their laws in North Carolina because, you know, they're probably some of the 121 fraudulent voters out of the 6.9 million. In other words, to condense it, North Carolina has lost its mind. It's sad because North Carolina, not a dumb state. The research triangle, are you kidding? Duke, I don't like their basketball team, but I give credit where credit's due. It's a brilliant university. Duke, North Carolina, and University of North Carolina are within like a 50-mile triangle. You couldn't have more brain power in a smaller space except for maybe where Harvard and Yale are across the street from each other. All kind of Democrats down there. I did a show down in North Carolina, and the place was swamped with NPR listeners. So I don't know what the hell. It's not a dumb state, but whoo-wee, they are moving backwards. And what would Cecil Gaines say? I think that might be the little wrist thing I make. What would Cecil Gaines say? Now, where else are we moving backwards? Well, North Carolina's moving backwards. Now let's move into never moving forward. How you doing there, Virginia? Virginia wants to. Virginia actually is erecting a Confederate flag. That's right. The neo-Confederates, that's the new Confederates, have leased a patch of land and they will erect a 50-foot pole and fly the Confederate battle flag all day, every day to remind visitors and commuters to Richmond that it is the former home of the Confederate States of America and remind them of our honorable and Confederate history and heritage. You have to say it like that. Our history and heritage, okay? Because what are they up against? They're up against tyranny. They have God bless America and God bless those who have the courage to stand in the face of tyranny, whether it be 1776, 1861, or 2013. 1776, United States of America gained independence. 1861, the Confederacy was defeated in the War of Northern Aggression. If you don't remember it, just head down to the South. They reenact the war they lost every Sunday. Never really understood that, but go on down and watch them lose it again. 2013, well, that's when that Barack Obama, he's in there with his tyranny. What's he doing? Oh, I don't know, forcing poor people to get health care and things like that. Some bitch. Yeah, what the hell? Yeah, we're going to put up a giant Confederate flag. And it's not racist. Our Confederate flag is not racist. However, the Confederacy, as said by Confederate Vice President Alexander Stevens in 1861, the Confederacy is founded upon the cornerstone rests upon the great truth that the Negro is not equal to the white man, that slavery, subordination to the superior race, is his natural and normal condition. Okay, that was the vice president of the Confederacy, but the neo-Confederates say, well, the Confederacy has nothing to do with racism. So they don't even read their own history. This is absolutely fascinating. I told you, I didn't think I had much this week, but God bless the South, because they're feeding me. So we got North Carolina, who's moving backwards, then Virginia, that has never moved forward, and then there's the great state of Texas, ladies and gentlemen. Texas, which is insulted to be a state, because we know that the Republic of Texas should be its own nation. And my only thing is, would they please become their own nation? Don't let us hold you back, Texas. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Secede. Go. Run with it. We wish you the best of luck. Well, this is coming from Texas, and it would only come from a Texas Republican. Republican Congressman Blake Farenthold believes President Obama was born in a foreign country. And in one of his town hall meetings where they talk about things like this, yes, they still talk about things like this, he said that the House, speaking about the House of Representatives, if we were to impeach the president tomorrow, you could probably get enough votes in the House of Representatives to do it, but it would go to the Senate and he wouldn't be convicted. Now, what brought this on? Well, one of his constituents who didn't believe that President Obama was born in the United States asked the congressman about it, and the congressman said, unfortunately, that horse is already out of the barn on this whole birth certificate issue. The original Congress, when his eligibility came up, should have looked into it, and they didn't. I'm not sure how we fix it. Oh, I don't know. How about we fix it by just accepting the fact that the man is an American, you know, because he has a birth certificate and all kind of proof that he was born in the United States. No, that wouldn't be the way to fix it. The way to fix it is we impeach that sumbitch, bring him down to Texas. We'll show him. What the hell? What the hell is going on? This, again, think about this in the context. That's what's blowing my mind. If you look at this, go see the movie The Butler, then reread these stories, revisit these stories that, okay, we're going to do away with voting rights in North Carolina. We're going to somehow ban Islamic law while adding Christian law in North Carolina. Virginia's going to raise the Confederate flag, and Texas wants to impeach the president because he's not an American. Wow. Is all I can say. Wow. people, I love doing this. Thank you for listening. I'm not done yet. I'm going to move up north. You know, that's what I'm going to do. Okay. I pick on the South plenty, but I'm going to move up north because it's not just the South. You're familiar with New York's Stop and Frisk Law. This is one of Mayor Bloomberg's babies. He thinks he's stopped murder and all kind of crime in New York by stopping black people and Latino people and having them frisked by the cops. Why? Because they look suspicious. You know how they have that wallet in their pocket that looks like a gun, or they were on a bicycle, but they were breaking a traffic law or whatever else. Well, it turns out that Shira, and isn't it great her name, Shira? She probably in on them Muslim laws. Judge Shira Shendlin ruled in federal district court that New York's stop and frisk policy is unconstitutional. The idea that it had to go to court to tell them that you can't just stop and frisk American citizens for being in public blows my mind. But she said that if they want to continue this, there's going to have to be all kind of oversight. She wants some kind of body cameras on the police to actually show. Because when they frisk, they don't just frisk. It's also turn your pockets inside out, and it might be your underwear, it might be your socks, whatever. You're fully searched, okay? They're finding weapons rarely. About 6% of those stopped have been found something, and most of that is petty offenses such as marijuana possession. Now, Mayor Bloomberg says, well, they're not carrying guns because they know they're going to be stopped and frisked. Here's the thing. The stop and frisk law is so racist. It is so racist that more black, young black men, and I'm going to say under 25, have been stopped than there are young black men. In other words, 106% of that demographic has been stopped. They've been stopped so many times, and so many have been stopped more than once, that 106% of them have been stopped. But Mayor Bloomberg says this has nothing to do with race. Okay. Who are the biggest criminals in New York? The guys on Wall Street. We know that. But that violent crime, does violent crime take place in poor neighborhoods? Yes. Does violent crime take place in racially ethnic neighborhoods? Absolutely. Does that mean we can go in and just stop every black person, every Latino kid, every kid that's the wrong color and search him? No. This is the United States of America. We're not supposed to be doing that. I'm blown away. I don't even know how to handle it. Thank you, Judge. Thank you, Judge, for your federal ruling to stop this and to tell them that if they want to do it, they're going to have to answer to people outside the police department and they're going to be watched. And do you know what Mayor Bloomberg's intelligent and adult mature response was? Well, if there's a murder, it's on your head, Judge, because we didn't prevent the murder by searching every black kid in New York, because they're the only ones who's ever killed anybody in New York City. Let's move on to Chicago. Again, this stuff is just, it's beyond belief where we've gotten to as a society. Chicago has this thing called Safe Passage, and it's school zones that are being marked with yellow signs and passages literally to walk to school, to go back from school. There's going to be yellow Safe Passage signs. There are going to be unarmed civilians, which really bothers Sheriff Joe down in Phoenix. Sheriff Joe is like, why are those civilians unarmed? You know that's supposed to be a posse and they're supposed to be carrying AKs. I hope it doesn't get to that point, Sheriff Joe, but if it does, we'll give you a call. Anyway, unarmed civilians will be posted and they'll try to walk the kids to school. You know why they have to do this? Because Chicago has gotten so out of hand, It's gotten so insane that these kids are getting shot going to school. And because of budget cuts and whatever, financial choices that cities make, this and that, they're closing schools. And the kids have to go to new schools. And the kid may have to walk from one gang area to another gang area to go to his school. So like if you're in one area controlled by gang A, and now you have to walk to school in the area controlled by gang B, you're at risk. How old are these kids? 5, 7. I don't even know what to do with this. LA had this problem. LA had this problem with the Crips and the Bloods and innocent people getting shot. And in Chicago, a lot of people are calling on Barack Obama to do something about this because he's from Chicago. I don't know that Barack Obama can do anything about this. I don't know that the president can do anything about this outside of declaring it some kind of disaster area, declaring martial law and sending in troops. But I'm going to tell you what seemed to work in LA. Powerful, respected celebrities got involved. Magic Johnson got involved. He opened businesses like Starbucks and movie theaters, and he appeared there and he said, listen, gangsters, this is for the families. This is for the kids. Do me a favor. Leave them alone. And it worked. Rappers got involved in the, you know, if you're old enough to remember the 90s when it just got crazy between the Crips and the Bloods shooting each other, you know, when Tupac and Biggie got shot and there were rapper feuds and this and that. And the hip hop community got involved and said, this has to stop. I would hope something like that happens in Chicago. I don't know the solution to this. I know that solution did work in the gang war. The insanity of it. See, it's all insanity. And now the insanity in North Carolina is comical when it comes to Muslim law. The insanity in North Carolina is sad when it comes to Voting Rights Act. The insanity in Chicago is tragic when five-year-old kids are at risk of getting shot by walking to school. What has happened? That it's a tragedy, and something needs to be done. It's just as tragic as a school shooting. It doesn't get the press coverage. It's just as bad. Is the solution that Mayor Bloomberg has just go in with a ton of police and search every black and Latino kid on the street the solution? No, because it's the United States of America, and we don't do that. The solution is working together, and it comes from being outraged, and we are. And I think something's going to be done. I know that happened in L.A., but it's just, I don't know. It's a mess. Some good news? You know that tyrant. Why can't I talk this week? What the hell is wrong with me? You know that tyrant Barack Obama and that government he has that's running up the deficit and spending your children's money and your children's money and blah, 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 blah. Well, guess what? The Treasury's monthly statement shows the U.S. deficit is dropping, or depends on which side you come from. Either it's dropping or it's growing slower. Basically, where we're at now, there's been a trend. Income has been going up. Spending has been going down. Okay, we didn't have to gut Social Security. We didn't have to stop Medicare. We didn't have to throw people out in the street. The fiscal policies of this government are working. Both sides are going to take credit, obviously, but we all know that tyrant Barack Obama is at the bottom of this. So here's what's going on. We're in 10 months of the fiscal year of 2013. Revenues are up 13.8% versus the 10 months in 2012. And spending is down by 3% versus the first 10 months of 2012. As a result, the deficit through the first 10 months of 2013 is off $367 billion, or it's 38% lower than the deficit through the first 10 months of 2012. So there's real progress. So the economy's getting better. We're saving money. We're people are saving money, meaning they're putting it in the banks. The government's collecting more taxes. The government's spending less money, and this is working. And it's nothing that they hate more than knowing Barack Obama's policies are working. But don't worry, the Republican House will be glad to take credit for it. Now, on the topic of deficits and money and race, it all came together in Switzerland, of all places. Oprah Winfrey. Oh, you've heard of Oprah, one of the richest women in the world. Last year, Oprah made $77 million. She's close to a billion. I'm not sure where she is. Oprah was in Switzerland for Tina Turner's wedding. I didn't know Tina Turner was getting married in Switzerland. I didn't get my invite. Oprah went to do a little shopping. She said, I didn't have my eyelashes on, but I was in full Oprah Winfrey gear. I didn't know Oprah wore eyelashes. Ooh, nice to know that, I guess. She went into a store. She wanted to look at a purse. And the clerk in the store said, no, it's too expensive. You would not be able to afford that. You see, Oprah's black in Switzerland. As I said, Oprah made $77 million last year. The bag was a Tom Ford Jennifer bag, named for Jennifer Aniston. You know who makes more money than Jennifer Aniston? Oprah. The bag cost $38,000. Okay, that's a lot of money for a bag. I don't know anything about bags, but I'm guessing $38,000 is on the high end. I'm also guessing to Oprah Winfrey, $38,000 is the equivalent of me spending, I don't know, 15 cents, a quarter at most. Do you understand? How do you tell Oprah, you don't have the money to be in this store. Now, I don't know how this is going to go, okay? Because the tourism, the State Department of Tourism for Switzerland apologized. Like, that's how bad it was. The government apologized to Oprah. But here's the thing. Jay-Z got a hit song out about rocking Tom Ford. Jay-Z's wearing Tom Ford. But now, if Oprah's not allowed to buy Tom Ford, and, you know, I don't know. I don't know how this works out. But I'm just saying, Jay-Z may be dissing Tom Ford in the future. Tom's like, look, I have nothing to do with it. I would be happy to sell my bags to Oprah, to give my bags to Oprah. I got a feeling in Tom Ford's next line, right above the Jennifer bag, is going to be the Oprah bag. Because you don't mess with Oprah. When are these people going to learn? But on a more serious note, isn't that sad that, like, that the racial profiling goes to that level? That Oprah has to deal with it. And Oprah said that she was surprised because she knows that black males go through it all the time. And as a black female, she's only encountered it one other time. Switzerland said she's overreacting because she's so used to American racism. No. You tried to diss Oprah. How do you not recognize Oprah Winfrey? The Oprah Winfrey Show isn't on in Switzerland. Oprah Winfrey Show isn't on in a lot of places. That's Oprah. So, again, it all comes together in that story, right? Now, you know I like to close with a little crazy. And let's go back down south. Let's go back to Tennessee. A woman in Tennessee named her baby Messiah. Okay, now you know I'm not a big fan of crazy names. I don't like North, the Kanye kid. I don't like Brooklyn. But she named her kid Messiah. And they went to court. Her and the father went to court over the baby's last name because her and the father separated. The judge changed the baby's first name. The judge said that the baby's not allowed to be named Messiah because Messiah is a title that has only been earned by one person, and that one person is Jesus Christ. Now, I didn't know this, but in 2012, Messiah was a common name given to boys in the United States. It was the fourth fastest growing name for boys between 2011 and 2012. That means it was trending to those Twitterati out there. And it was the 387th most common name given to baby boys in the U.S. Now, I didn't know kids were being named Messiah, but apparently it's okay, except for this judge down in Tennessee. Can you imagine this? And here's the thing, with all due respect, okay, Miss Luann, and of course she's named Luann Bailu, the judge who changed the baby's first name. You can't state in a legal document about Jesus Christ being a person. See, there's no proof of that. That's a belief. That's a religious belief. You can't apply that to people. And if you really want to, I think you need to check with Rutgers and former Phoenix Suns basketball player, God Shamgod. That's right. His name was God. So if anyone has control over the name Messiah, I think it's former basketball player God Shamgot, one of the greatest names in the history of basketball. Yes, his name was God. Oh, who's paying attention? I hope you guys are. Listen, this weekend I'm not working. I'm going to Indianapolis for MotoGP, and it's a weekend off. I'm going to have a great time. Next week, I am doing a pilot podcast with T.O., and it's going to be a football show, so I hope that goes. It's going to be on the Sideshow Network, same as my podcast. And later this month, I'm going to be at Tommy T's in Pleasanton. I love you guys. Thanks for listening. This is Alonzo Bowden asking, who's paying attention? I hope you are. Booyah.